Good morning, Church of Family. This is Pastor Elson. Today's message is entitled, My Mother. Are you intrigued about what am I going to say about my mother? Is this going to become too personal? What details do you think that I'll be sharing about my mother? And who is my mother anyway? I do call you brothers and sisters, so maybe my mother is also your mother. To find the answer to this question and to perfectly understand what the titles of today's message is really all about, we must visit scriptures, the sacred pages of my father's holy book. When did the whole journey start? If you open your Bibles in Genesis 3:15, and I'm reading from the New Century Version, it says like this, I will make you, that means Satan, and the woman that makes my mother, enemies to each other. Your descendants, meaning Satan's followers, and my mother's descendants, which include you and I, will have to be enemies because they are opposed to each other. But then one special one, Jesus Christ, one of the descendants of the woman, will crush the head of the dragon, and the dragon will bite his heel, meaning will persecute the church, will persecute Jesus. Genesis 6, verse 1 and 2, gives another name for my mother. The first name was, of course, the woman. Then the second reference that we find in my father's holy book is that the name was given to the sons of God, or mean the children of God. You read verse 1, it says, now, I'm reading for the New King James Version, Genesis 6, verse 1 and 2. Now, it come to pass when the man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all who they chose. Said it again, just like our mother Eve was deceived because she thought that the fruit was beautiful, was attractive. Here are her children committed the same mistake again. And it says after this that because the sons of God mingle with the sons of the daughters of men, that's what sin multiplied. And it was almost the death of the church. My mother almost died. As a matter of fact, after 120 years of preaching, there was only 8 of her children left. Throughout the scriptures, we see, you can see this in the book of Hosea, in other parts of the Bible, it is clearly referred to God as the husband and the woman, God's children, as the spouse, the wife. The woman is being seen throughout the Bible, not only in the New Testament books, but also in the first 39 books of the Bible. It's not strange to refer to Jerusalem as a woman or to Zion as a woman, also the mother. And so this picture is throughout the scriptures. And time to time, the mother receives different names. The seed is referred to her descendants, especially to one which is Jesus Christ. But throughout the ages, the dragon never ceases to try to strike my mother and all her children. Through all the ages, the dragon continued what is mentioned in Genesis 3:15. The enemies, they will be enemies, and they still are. If you can open your Bibles in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, here is another illustration that says, in New King James Version, says, "Then I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Here's the same analogy is being used. Revelation 21, verse 9 as well, New King James, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, 'Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife.'" Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20 is a very well-known Bible verse, commandment of Christ, which says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples." He's talking to my mother. He's talking to you, my brother and sister. He says, "Go and therefore make disciples of all nations." And I underlined all nations. God does not have children in one single corner of the world. He says, "All nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And of course, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Revelation 7, verse 9, New King James as well, it says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude." Yes, by the flood there was only 8 of her children left. But at the end, there will be a great multitude. The mother will see a vast number of children. My brothers and sisters, my mom has a lot of children, a great multitude, which no one could number. And where are they? I have brothers from all nations. I have sisters from all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues. And what happened? They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, just like a bride, with palm branches in their hands. What is she not? Many people misunderstand, what is this woman? What is this that I call my mother? What is that? The one who you call your mother, what is this church? So first let me tell you what she is not. She is not a building. Many people look to magnificent cathedrals and historical monuments that they said, "Oh, that is a church." That's not a church, that's a building. My mother is not a building. God's bride is not a building. She is the body of the true believers, Bible believers. The Bible says that Satan believes also, and he is not a church member. So just to believe is not, that's why I emphasize true Bible believers. She is not a business. Unfortunately, there are a lot of churches that involve in great business, buying, selling this stuff constantly. If you watch their programs on television, they are selling this, they are selling that. It's a great business. Of course, the church needs finances, but we have to be careful not to be projected before the world as a business. No, she is not a business. She is the bride of Christ, chosen by my Father himself. By the way, brothers and sisters, your mother, my mother, she is not a corporation either. She is a congregation, Iglesia. In the desert, she was called congregation of the saints of God's people. Yes, she's a congregation of Christ's followers. I avoid to use sometimes the word Christian because so many people call themselves Christians and they have nothing to do with Christ. They are not part of Christ and they don't want to listen to what the head, which is Christ, have to say. Therefore, I like to use the terminology Christ followers, true followers. And by the way, she's not a financial institution either. She is just Abba's holy family. A pilot, to illustrate the point, I like to say, a pilot announced to his passengers over his intercom system, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have good news, and I have some bad news. The good news is that we have a tailwind, and we are making excellent time. We will arrive even before the scheduled time. But there is a bad news. And the bad news is that our compass is not working. And we have no idea where we are or where we are going." Yes, the true bride of Christ, my mother, knows where she comes from and knows where she will get, because the pilot is Christ himself. She is led by a careful chosen CEOs. And let me say again, she is led by carefully chosen CEOs. And know what a CEOs in Christ Church stands for? My mother calls it Christ-like elected officers. That's what a CEO stands for, my mother, the way she calls them. So my mother, your mother, calls them Christ-like elected officers, inspired by the Holy Spirit to guide Christ's bride. By the way, she's not built by corporate executives either. She's built by Christ himself. As is mentioned in scriptures, the church is built on Christ, the cornerstone, of course, built for Christ, and built by Christ. I was giving Bible studies in a prison in Calipatria a few years ago, and one person came to me and said that he wants to be part of the church, but he did not want to be baptized, and he did not want to have a membership in any church. He thought that that was against scripture. How wrong they were. It took us a few weeks in Bible studies until they changed their minds as we present to them why membership is so vital. Why membership is actually called by God. God wants us to be members of his church. And so they eventually were all baptized. And they sent, because they could not be present in the church, we sent their pictures for the members to vote them into fellowship. We desire to become members of the local congregation. Yes, when we move to another area, when we move to a new city, we seek our church so we can join that church, so we can have locally a family. It is a good thing for both for you and for the local church. It is said that sometimes people throughout the ages have moved to different areas and they never thought it was necessary to get involved with the local church. They come to visit, they participate on potlucks, they participate in activities, but they take forever to move their membership to the local church. It is vital for us to have a membership. Imagine if your children, I'm talking to the mothers, imagine if your children don't want to be counted as part of a church activities or family activities. And when somebody asks them, who is your mother? says, oh, I'm thinking, I'm going to make up my mind. The fact is, you have a mother. She can claim you as her child. It doesn't matter what decision you make, you have to understand you belong to a family. We all belong to a family. So what is church membership? Is my church membership really necessary? Somebody may ask. I have another person who once told me that he was saved by Christ and he feels like he does not need to join the church. But interesting enough, he was always there in the church, receiving all the benefits of a fellowship, but did not want to put in anything. They just want to take out. That is common sometimes in any family settings, that sometimes members of the family, some people are very hard working, put things, you know, work for the family. They visit their mother, they support, they love their mother, they give gifts to their mother. And some other children act a little bit different. It is also common, even in a spiritual family that we have. What are the duties of a church member? Some people join the church, and it's not their fault. Sometimes the leadership of the church does not teach them the details about what is involved in becoming a member of the church. You try to join any club in the world, the first thing that they will send to you is a set of rules. In most cases, you have to sign an agreement and you have to pay up front the fee. Why is different from being a member of a church? Why do we ask, what are my duties, my responsibilities as a member of this family? How does one become a member of a church? One of the purposes of today's message is to seek an answer to such questions. First, the church was built on the rock. And you know, all of you know who the rock is. If you go to Rome, to the Vatican, they will show you a statue of Peter. And they say that that is the rock. Yes, that particular Peter they show to you there in the Vatican, he is made of rock. But it's not a rock. The Bible says that in Matthew 16:18, New Century Version, Jesus said this, I tell you, Peter, on this rock, and he was pointing to himself, I will build my church, and the power of death, or thinking about Genesis 3:15, and the power of the dragon will not be able to defeat it. Now, if you stand in a court of the temple at those days when Jesus was speaking, you understand that in the most holy place, there was a cornerstone. Because you see, the ark disappeared. It was never found. And so, when they built the new temple, they decided to use a cornerstone because the temple of Solomon had the Shekinah, had the manifestation of God's glory. So they thought that by association, that it was part of God's glory that you want to put in the most holy place. So there was a cornerstone there. So when Jesus says, this rock, he was making reference to that rock as well as to the rock where the temple was built on top of the rock. And Jesus Christ, later on, he even said that this temple will be destroyed. In 3 days, he can be rebuilt. He was referring to himself. And later on, he was even accused to say that he was destroying the temple. But Jesus Christ was talking about our mother, our church, the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, New Living Translation, It says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 23, New Living Translation. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, it says there is only one body. Some of you may say, but pastors, only Christian denomination, there are more than 30,000 in the United States alone. There are so many women all around the world. Just like in Matthew chapter 25, there were 10 virgins there, but they were not all of them really the bride of Christ. So there are many churches around the world. There are many women, there are many mothers, but there is only one, is the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:4, New Century Version, there is one body and one spirit, and God called you to have one hope. Now, when you, any sentence, any Bible verse in the scriptures that it says, one body, one spirit, remember, the body without the spirit is dead. Is just a dead. So everybody, in order to be a living body, needs to have a spirit. So that's what Paul is making reference here, that the church, in order to be really a church of God, it needs to have the spirit of God. And by the way, there's a lot of other churches there that have a different spirit, but not the spirit of God. And therefore, they don't have the same hope that God provides. And if you continue reading Ephesians chapter 4, he goes on by saying, and there is only one Lord, and there is only one faith, and there is only one hope. You get the point. My mother is one. Jesus' bride is one. Our mother is only one. The same one that God said that the dragon was trying to destroy her. And throughout the centuries, he did try. But she is still alive. And she's still here. And she's going to be here until her bridegroom comes to take her home. It says here in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, New King James Version, he says this one body is made up of individual members. Look what it says in verses 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. Can you imagine your left hand or your right hand arguing? The left hand says, I want to be right. And the right hand says, I want to be left. Or an eye says, I want to speak. Or the ears say, I want to see. No, each one of the members in our body has its own function. And the body can only function if every member does exactly what God has given them the talent to be. Not everybody can be an arm, so the body won't move. The body needs the legs. Every member is necessary. It says individually, we are members of one another, which means is that we serve each other, each one of us in our own function, end up benefiting the ones who does not know or do the same things we do. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And interesting that the Bible keeps mentioning about membership, members individually. The body, members of the body. The woman, God's church, has children, as we mentioned before, of all races, languages, nationalities, because God so loved the world and he came for the world. Not only to any little corner of the world. Yes, being a member of God's church, being a child of my mother, gives me some privileges, gives you some privilege to be members of this church. It is in God's church, it is in the body of Christ, that we are saved by Christ, in Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 23, New King James, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." And if you continue reading, it says, "He loved the church so much that he gave his life for the church, for his bride." I don't think any wife will have a problem having her husband being the leader of their homes if the husband loves their wives as Christ loved the church. They enjoy all the spiritual blessings. They, meaning every church member, enjoying all the spiritual blessings which is involving being part of the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, New Living Translation, "Even before," he says, "even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes." God decided, verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into his holy, only own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wants to do, and he gave him great pleasure to bring us, embrace us as part of his children. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says that according to all the blessings that we receive, one of the greatest blessings is the grace that God offers to every children that joins his church, to join his family. He says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Yes, if we are part of the body of Christ, grace is available to us. Forgiveness, redemption, the kingdom, eternal life, is all part of the benefits of membership in the body of Christ. Is all that my mother can provide you through Christ Jesus. Such blessings also include the ability to have our open line with the Heavenly Father. Hebrews 4, verse 16, New Living Translation says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of the gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Yes, my father has opening line with my mother. It is a constantly talk. So if I am in the arms of my mother, I can talk to my Heavenly Father anytime, because he's a gracious God. And he has his eyes on us, his ears on us. He is constantly looking at us and walking beside us. Those in the church enjoy blessings now as well as in the future. But here's a part that some people do not like. By the way, those that do not like, maybe because they have something to fix in their own lives. But those that do like have no problem with this part. Which part is it? The duties, the responsibilities, the contributions. You know, when you are part of any family, you have your responsibilities. When the mother tells the children, "You have your chores to do, go clean your room, go do this, go do that." Wouldn't it be wonderful if you can just sit there and be served and have nothing to do, that's not reality. Reality is that every family that you are part of, you need to bring your contributions. You need to share responsibilities. You have your duties as a child, as the mother has her duties as a mother. One of the responsibilities that we have as we join the Church of God is found in John chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. And I read from the New Century Version. It says like this, and you'll be amazed. You look at the word remain. It says, verse 4, remain in me. That's Jesus is speaking. And I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in the vine. In the same way, you cannot produce fruit alone, but must remain in me. And then verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. If any remain in me, and I remain in them, they produce much fruits. But without me, they can do nothing. And there are some congregations, when they don't have Christ as the head of their church, nothing is all that they can produce. But when you are the truly body of Christ, when you are a child of Christ, you remain connected. And by the way, brothers and sisters, I underline in my notes here the words remain connected. There are some people that they like to their names to be in the books of the church, but they get completely disconnected. They disappear. They are missing. And once in a while, we receive, out of nowhere, a request for a membership to be transferred. And we even ask, who is this person? And sometimes, the name is not even in the records anymore. It is very important for us to keep always connected to our local family, connected to our mother, to visit our mother every week, to stay connected. If my brother or my sister is in a hospital or is going through a difficult time, we need to stay connected. We need to remain connected because we are family, because our mother is the same mother. That's why you're my brother. That's why you're my sister. We need to remain connected until the bridegroom comes and take us to his presence. And there we will stay connected forever. We all need to do our part. Yes, we do. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, New Century Version, says like this. Paul says to the Ephesians, speaking the truth with love, we will grow up in every way into Christ, who is the head of the church. The whole body depends on Christ, and all the parts, that means you and I, of the body, are joined and held together. That's why you're my brother. That's why you're my sister. That's why my mother is your mother. Each part does its own work to make our mother grow and be strong with love. Of course, the verse says whole body, okay? In Romans 12, verse 4, it says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, Paul says this before. Now, here's the illustration, and please do not take it wrong, but it's important for us to bring this to your attention. Someone said, and this was published in Bits and Pieces, October 15, 1952, pages 16 and 17, it says like this, There are four main bones in every organization. You may have heard this before. It says, they are the wish bones. And who are they? They wish. They wish somebody would do something about the problem. That's why they call the wish bones. And then there are also the second bones, which is the jaw bones. And what do? They talk. And they talk. And they talk. Doing all that they do is to talk about every little else. Then there is the third type of bones, the knuckle bones. Those who knock everything, but nothing else. And of course, thank God, there are the wish bones. And they are, the last one, it says, and they are, just give me a second here, they are, the backbones. Who are the backbones? Those who carry the whole load and do the most of the work. The church in a desert, when the church was in a desert, there was a group of people. They were assigned to carry the sanctuary on their shoulders. The people travel from place to place, and there are those that are assigned to be the backbones. Yes, brothers and sisters, I can tell you that they were not the ones who are complaining. They were carrying the heavy load, and they are always those that are the backbones of any organization. To love each other is one of the essential elements of being truly a church of God. The church is the only, this is what William Temple said this, the church is the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members and members alike. You know, every society, you know, they exist to serve their members. But the church exists to serve no members. In John 13, verse 35, in the New Century Version, it says, all people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. 1 Peter 1, 22, New Living Translation, Peter says, you are cleansed from your sins when you obey the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. Remember, we have the same mother. We are brothers and sisters. Membership has its privileges, but also it relies and for its own existence on its obligations. Become a member. We become a member when we are baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, those that were baptized into the church, they were added to the church. Those being saved were added to the church. Acts 2, verse 47. Yes, by one Spirit they were baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, Titus 3, verse 5. One becomes a member of the church when they are born again through the water and through the Spirit. You know, the first time Adam called Eve Emma, which means water, he says from water it comes all lives. You become the mother of all living beings. And again, the water and the Spirit. When you are born, you need the Spirit in order to remain alive. If one wishes to be a member of Christ's biblical church, one needs to confess our sins, to repent, and to obey God's teachings, and to be born again. Some people say that a baptism is not necessary. I don't know where they got this idea, because Christ said himself, it is necessary. It is a way to become a member of the body of Christ. Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, it says, Jesus Christ himself says, and he said to them, go into all nations and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See, who believes is not the end of the road, but because if you believe and do nothing, nothing will happen. But if you believe and is baptized, then you join the body of Christ. And when you are part of the body of Christ, and Christ is the way, he is the truth, and he is life, anyone who joins him, join his body, will have also eternal life. Acts 2, verse 28, New Living Translation. Peter said, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will need to be born again. You are to have the right spirit on you. Then they already became members. Membership has its privileges, brothers and sisters. But also, allow me to remind you for the third time, it has its responsibilities. A person becomes a member of the local church when they are accepted by such. It's not automatically. Membership in God's church is fundamental to the faithful life of a Christian. Failure to do so defines the explicit warning for us not to forsake, which is found in Hebrews 10, verse 25, which says, our assembling together, we should never forsake our mother church. We need to get together. His understanding of this prompted Martin Luther's understanding of this principle led him to say, apart from the church, there is no salvation. Salvation is not possible, he said. Not that the church provides salvation by itself, but God does through the church. But because the saved cannot fulfill what it means to be a true Christian apart from the body of Christ, membership becomes very indispensable as an instrument for our own salvation and for us to lead others to be saved as well. The best way for us to retain what we have is to give, because it's by giving that we keep. Revelation 12, verse 17, New Living Translation, it says, and the dragon, remember Genesis 3:15, when God said there would be enemies? Revelation is almost an echo of Genesis 3:15. Revelation 12, verse 17, and the dragon was angry at the woman. Yes, the dragon was angry at my mother. And declared war against all her children, the rest of them, all who keep the commandments and maintain the commandments of God and maintain their testimony for Jesus. This is the New Living Translation. And then Revelation 14, verse 12, New King James. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. I believe by now you know my mother very well. By now you know why you are my brother and my sister. Because my mother is your mother. And our Heavenly Father is waiting to take us home. Yes, brothers and sisters, church membership is necessary. Church fellowship is necessary. Church discipleship is necessary. Church worship is necessary. Yes, membership in a local church is necessary for the process of salvation, our own and those that we lead to the cross. Membership in a local church is needed for our own spiritual growth and also for our own personal service. Church membership is called a service. Yes, we are members of a church not because of the benefits. We are members of the church because of the service that we must provide others so the mother can have more children join in the body of Christ. When we are added to the local church, we become part of the global body of Christ, the mother church. We join ourselves to the local church through mutual consent to work together, to love each other, to lift each other up, to learn from each other, to protect each other. That's why we are members of God's church. And in conclusion, let me share with you an illustration. An artist from the Atlantic coast, he spent long hours working on intricate sand castles. You go to the beach, and we spend hours and hours building these beautiful castles of sand. Sometimes he will create a whole city. It looks fascinating because of his talented hands, what he could produce. One year, for several days in a row, he was confronted by bullies who will come and in groups and smash his creations, kick and jump on top of it and destroy completely in a few seconds. Things that took him hours and hours to build, they would destroy it and they would laugh and go away. Finally, after being tired of this harassment that he was receiving, he decided to do something different. He says, let me experiment with something. So he decided to place rocks and blocks of concrete in the base of his castles. Then he built the sand kingdoms on top of the rocks. And then the thugs appeared. Unaware of how the whole thing was built, without their shoes on, because they were walking the beach, they came and kicked those castles of sand. And their bare feet suddenly met their match. Ouch! Some of them learned their lessons forever. Many people see the church as a fragile mother. A mother trying to protect her little children from many dangers like the secular world that we live in, the politics of our world, the heresies, the afflictions, the dangers from inside and from outside, and of course, the dangers of plain old sin. They forget that my mother is standing upon the rock. So when the dragon comes to try to destroy my mother, he realizes that my mother is standing on the rock. The dragon will not prevail against my mother, because as the Bible says, at the end, my mother will be there to receive the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. I will be resting on her arms. I hope, my brother and sister, you also be there, resting on the arms of your mother, Christ's church. I'm blessed to be part of this church. I'm blessed to be part of this family. This is the family that we will keep forever. Jesus Christ said once when he was told, outside is your mother and your brothers and sisters. Jesus put his arms around those that were listening to the gospel and said, who is my mother? who is my sister? Who are my sisters? You are my mother and my sisters. My brother and sisters, now you know who my mother is. And now you know why I call you brothers and sisters. Let that be forever. May God bless you.